Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. My name is Trevor Sikkema. With me this week is Mr. Benjamin Solak. Ben, how does it feel to get the call up to be on the podcast? How you feel, man? Are you ready for it? Are you ready? This is a Monday. I need you to be ready for it.
Right. I mean, I absolutely feel this sense of great responsibility, man. I'm in my Peter Parker zone.
Okay. A little bit of superhero there to foreshadow.
It's on brand.
To foreshadow Endgame coming up. I like it. But actually, Ben, you are not the most important guest that we have on this podcast today. Because
okay, cool.
We are joined, graciously joined by Mr. Lance Zierlein. You know him from NFL.com. You know him from NFL Network. We were talking before the show, and this man is all over the place. Lance, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. We really appreciate it. We know how busy that April can be for you, man.
I appreciate it. You got to stop selling Ben so short. That's not right. He's incredibly
important.
I need you to stop taking shots.
I'm the young guy on staff, and I'm the heel of every joke, and those are my lumps, man. When I look back in 10, 20 years, and I'm abusing the next young guy, that's how I'll justify it.
Well, this week, and the reason why we have Lance on the show is because we're doing something really cool. We're starting a series, our guest mock draft series today, and we did this last year. You guys really loved it. What we're doing is every single show we're having two people on, either that cover the draft or that cover a specific team. We're going to have them on because you've heard John and I make so many mock draft picks, you know, over the last 8 months that why not get some fresh new voices in here? So Ben's isn't the only one. And we're starting today with Lance picking for the Arizona Cardinals. And truly, we had to start off with the big guns because there is so much surrounding the Cardinals. And Lance, you're a guy who, you're so much more plugged in to the other side of things, you know, truly the NFL side. And I just wondered, what has this been like, this whirlwind of who the Cardinals might take? You know, I don't want you to reveal any of your secrets or anything like that, but has this draft season, especially at number one, been as crazy on the other side as it seemed like it has for the media?
No, I don't think so. Actually, I think last year's was because, you know, there really was no, I found out it was going to be, on Tuesday. Was it Monday or Tuesday? Yeah, no, it was Monday. The week of the draft, I found out it was likely to be, Baker Mayfield, and then kind of just had to sit on that a little bit and threw that out there in a meeting at NFL Network. And we kind of snuck it onto the show on a Tuesday.
Right.
And then I put something on Twitter and it really started heating up. This Kyler Murray thing to me has been done for quite a while. So I'm kind of the opposite. They'll of course deny stuff like this, but I think this has been a done deal that it was going to be Kyler Murray from earlier than any of us think. So I've been good with it from before, way before the combine. I was fine with it. I threw it out there on an Arizona show back in early February, late January.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's not, I've had Kyler Murray number four to the Raiders in my very first mock, which is January, I want to say 27th. And I took a lot of heat because that was the highest anybody had Kyler Murray. And I just didn't have the balls to put him one to Arizona because I hadn't had some of the kind of confirmation that I was looking for from kind of a source of mine. I think this has been a done deal for a while for Arizona. So for me personally, it's a lot less. I'm more interested in where Josh Rosen's going. I'm more interested in what the price tag is going to be, where he's going. Murray in number one feels like a lot to me. So it's not really, I'm not really doing anything with that anymore. It's more like, can Quinnen Williams fall out of the top four? You know?
Yeah. That's the ramifications are wild.
Yeah, I think once you put a quarterback who I don't think Kyler Murray is graded, should be graded as one of the top five players in the draft. I don't have him there. Mm-hmm. But once you put him in there, now another player is going to slip out of the draft. Or not out of the draft, out of the top. You know, the next two, three, four, five all have defensive line needs, right? Whether it's end or defensive tackle or pass rush or whatever. And so when you look at 2, 3, 4, 5 and you start to put the names up there, okay, Nick Bosa, Quinnen Williams, Josh Allen. Now, okay, well, those three, we got it. But then, all right, well, who's number five? Montez Sweat would make some sense. Rashawn Gary had this great workout. He's a physical freak show. Well, what if it's, you know, what if there's a surprise at 2, 3, or 4? Who's the guy that could? I don't see Josh Allen falling out because he is, you know, he has traits. He's an edge rusher. I know San Francisco really needs that. I think San Francisco is a very interesting spot. I think it's Bosa mm-hmm. or Allen, and how they look at, you know, the true rusher. I mean, the guy with the better upside is a rusher from an explosion standpoint is Josh Allen. The guy that's more plug and play and you feel safer with and has a much higher floor is obviously Nick Bosa. Do you really want an interior lineman, though, or do you really want a lineman who, you know, like Eric Armstead, Buckner? You're adding another. You're not adding a guy with a lot of edge juice with Nick Bosa. So will the San Francisco 49ers, you know, what direction will they head in with that edge selection? I assume it's going to be an edge selection. I think that's kind of an interesting story. The information about the heart issue with Montez Sweat, is that going to pull him out of consideration for 4 or 5? You know, I think that's an interesting story to me. I think Quinnen Williams might be the guy who has the chance in some different scenarios and contingencies to potentially fall out of the top 4. And then now you're sitting there with them at Tampa, and will Tampa draft a defensive tackle to put next to Gerald McCoy? My thought is yes. I don't think Quinnen Williams could fall past 5. But, you know, those are the things that are really more interesting to me is how they – we all see the same names at the top. It's like how do they get – I'm just curious about how the boards look. I'm really genuinely intrigued on how 2, 3, 4, and 5 play out because if a wild card comes flying up there like Devin White at 4, you know, well, then somebody's going to get pushed out. Somebody's getting pushed back because I feel like it's a lock that Kyler Murray's at 1.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you said Devin White at 4 because I agree. Like, I think you've got – all right, if we lock in Kyler to Arizona – you have a bit of an inflection point at 2 in terms of Bosa versus Allen with the Niners. The Jets, I think, could go, a ton of different directions. They need offensive tackle help. They need defensive line help for sure. But the Raiders, with Mayock, your previous colleague, of course, there, we have no idea how he's going to draft. Like, we don't even know how he's going to approach things, what he's going to value, like, you know, the feel for that roster. Obviously, they've added a ton of free agents. So I don't even know how to contextualize these guys. So 4 is the most interesting pick for me. And if somebody starts falling, I think it'll be because we all maybe slotted them at 4. And that's the spot where, you know, things kind of take a massive left turn and they start heading in the weird direction. But I want to circle back, like you said, interested in Josh Rosen's landing spot. Because at this point, if Kyler to Arizona is locked in at 1, you've still got Rose on the roster. You got to find a way to offload this guy. So I guess I'm wondering for you, like, what do you think is the most likely spot that Rosen gets traded? How much does he cost? And are teams playing hardball with the Cardinals? Do they know that Arizona's locked into Kyler at 1 and they're trying to drive the price down for Rosen as much as they can?
I think it's anytime you're talking about potential trades, and the NFL more than any other sport, it's about leverage. So it's about creating mm-hmm. buyer's market or seller's market. There is a story that came out that the Cardinals already have an offer of a second for Josh Rosen. Well, how does that get out? Well, that gets out either typically by an agent or a general manager. One of those two, we'll put that out there. They'll leak it out there. If you're the Cardinals, it would make sense to put that out there because you want to flush out a second horse in the race. You want to be able to create some leverage on your side. If they get a second for Josh, I think that's good value. Now, obviously, it could be a late second from the New England Patriots, right? Well, that's not going to be as good as a Giants second round pick, for example. So I think they're trying to, if that's really the case, I think it's probably coming from Arizona's side, and they want to create some level of urgency if there are other suitors in the market. That's my guess. The teams that I think are the most interesting to me are New York, because I think that could be an abject disaster if he ends up in New York. I don't think he has the personality to withstand the New York media if things go sideways. I think on the positive side, New England, they've been mentioned, would be very intriguing for Josh Rosen. He's a cerebral quarterback We've had a head coach who has obviously dealt with that and coached that, and Bill Belichick with Tom Brady. I think the Chargers have been mentioned as a potential landing spot that would make some sense as he could play behind Phillip Rivers. How does Josh Rosen handle being a second quarterback and not an immediate starter? I think, you know, I felt like Washington might be an interesting spot, but now that doesn't look like that's right, going to be the case. So who really wants him? If they want him, do they want him to start right away, or do they want him to be to learn? Because you're only going to be responsible for like $6 million. So it's a really, really favorable contract for any team that trades for Josh Rosen. The problem is Josh going to be okay with sitting for a year or 2 years? And if you have him in that spot, you want to have him behind a strong quarterback so the fans aren't clamoring for Josh Rosen, because what that's going to do is create, you know, potentially some tension with Josh and whoever the quarterback is. If you put him in Washington, for example, you know, that's going to create some tension if he's not the starter. So I find the Josh Rosen thing to be interesting, because the one thing that was really hounded on, I didn't love the arms. I thought the arm was just average. There were some football things that I could point to. His deep ball accuracy was not great. He was in the 30% range over the last 2 years, maybe even for career. There were some things I could point to football-wise, but the big thing that I kept coming back to was, can he be a leader of men in the locker room? Because that is the big concern coming out of the locker rooms at UCLA with a couple coaches I talked to. And so now that concern is going to follow him to whatever team he goes to, and he's still going to have to prove it. So I think that's going to be really – and it's kind of telling in some ways that Arizona would be ready and willing to move on from Josh Rosen after 1 year. Maybe that says less about Josh. And once again, I'm operating completely off the idea that Kyler Murray is going to Arizona. Clearly that's the starting point for this whole conversation. But if they're willing to get away from Josh that quickly, did they see something they didn't like, or is this just 100% we're all in with Cliff Kingsbury? And if we're all in with Cliff Kingsbury, then we need to be all in with the quarterback that makes the most sense in his offense. So, that's one of the really interesting things to me, too, is where does Josh Rosen go? What do the Arizona Cardinals get in return? Or do they hang on to him and just keep him on the roster and hope that he is a good teammate and no one, quote unquote, hacks his Instagram again?
Yeah, it's a crazy scenario, just because, a year ago, Josh Rosen was, I know he's one of the later QBs taken, but it seemed like any of these teams that are looking for quarterbacks now would have jumped on it last year. You wonder if, that other side of football evaluation, figuring out who they are and who they are in the locker room and all that. And you just wonder if that really did come to fruition in a not good way. But okay, all right, so we got to get you out of here. But first, we got to have you make an official pick for the Cardinals. I assume you're going to make the pick of Kyler Murray. If that's what you're going with, Lance, tell us about Kyler Murray and what he could be as a football player and for the Arizona Cardinals, if that's who you're making the pick for.
So I think Kyler Murray has special upside, his ability to extend plays and to create plays. We talked about this with running backs a lot. Can you create yards for yourself?
Right.
Through power, through speed, and through elusiveness. Well, I think the same thing should and can be said about quarterbacks in this day and age too. Can you create explosive plays for yourself, either with your feet or with the ability to extend plays and push the ball down the field or to win from the pocket? You can still create through just, you know, the chess match that is the mentality of setting up safeties with your eyes. I mean, there's different ways to quote unquote create. And I think Kyler Murray has the ability to create explosive plays for himself. And maybe more importantly for Arizona, he has the ability to do something that Josh Rosen can't do, and really most quarterbacks can't do, and that is bail his offensive line out. When an offensive line that just couldn't protect a quarterback well last year, you get a quarterback that's not a mobile option, they are going to be sitting targets in the pocket. Kyler Murray, we know, can create passing opportunities for himself by eluding the rush and keeping his eyes peeled down the field. His ability to throw the ball, push it deep with touch is outstanding. He has a very good arm talent. And maybe most importantly, I think Kyler Murray does not get down on himself early in games. And we saw signs of that against Alabama. He continued, despite a poor start and not getting a lot of help early on, he pushed through and really, I thought, finished the game really well. To me, that game made really left an imprint with me, the way that he continued to compete. So I think Kyler Murray gets a quarterback who can fit into the offense that Cliff Kingsbury has right away, that can bail out the offensive line that they're trying to rebuild. And then more importantly, he is going to be a player that can really help out David Johnson, because there's so much more pressure on just backside zone read looks. You're going to really have to sit there and freeze it for worries of Kyler Murray will pull it and run. And I think that's going to open up some outstanding opportunities for David Johnson as well. So I think Kyler has a lower floor. The size is a concern and a question, but a higher ceiling because he's so explosive as a playmaker.
Well, there you go. Sort of an unorthodox way that the Arizona Cardinals were getting to their franchise quarterback over the last 2 years, but Kyler Murray going number one overall to kick this mock draft off. Lance, thank you so much for joining us, man. We really, really appreciate it. And, of course, your great insight.
Thanks. Keep doing a great job over there at Draft Network, too, guys. You guys are doing a great job, and really appreciate the grind you're putting in.
I appreciate the kind words.
Thank you, Lance.
Everybody who's listening, stick around. We still got another half of the podcast. Joe Fan from the 49ers, he's going to pick for San Francisco next. All right, guys, welcome back to the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm Trevor Sikkema. With me is Mr. Benjamin Solak. Ben, Kyler Murray going number one overall. Thoughts?
I don't know how we got here.
I don't know
how we got here.
But we are here. And you know who else is here? Joe Pham from the San Francisco 49ers. He is here to grace us with his presence and his knowledge of the 49ers and also give us the pick, the second overall pick for this draft. But before we get to that, Joe, how you doing, man? It's so good to hear from you.
I'm doing great. It's an honor to be back here, too, as a part of this mock draft. Truly the pleasure is mine.
I know. Joe's an alumni of this guest mock series.
Wow, we have alumni now. I know. The April guest mock.
It's great. We're moving up in the world. Joe, it was kind of I'll just kind of start off, man. Must have been a roller coaster of a year for you guys, obviously, with Kyle Shanahan being there. John Lynch still obviously kind of getting into his role as a new GM, having Jimmy Garoppolo, having just so much hype of what could be for the 49ers, and then here they are with the record that earns them the number two overall pick. So just what was it like this season covering the 49ers and kind of the roller coaster that was it a roller coaster to you, or what was it like for you this year?
Well, it's funny. I mean, it was a roller coaster in that it was one big climb right over the course of an 8-month offseason. The offseason is just so long. It gives everyone so much time to him and Ha and build hype around different things. And, you know, the 49ers were a sexy team going into last year, reasonably so, right? They won their last five games of 2017. Yeah. Jimmy Garoppolo re-signed. You got Jerick McKinnon, George Kittle hoping to take a next step. You got Richard Sherman on defense. And you're thinking, man, this might, you know, be a really dangerous team that could, you know, get towards 8-8, maybe push for one of those wild card spots, and all of a sudden it just goes downhill so quickly. You know, for any team in this league that loses their quarterback in week 3, they're going to have a tough time climbing out of that hole. And you know, the 49ers still fought, and there weren't many games where, you know, they got, you know, taken to the cleaner, so to speak. I mean, they were competitive in pretty much all of them, just couldn't finish in post games. And that's what happens when you're void of, you know, that star set of talent and your starting quarterback. You know, other teams are going to make it happen in crunch time, you know, when you don't have the playmakers or closers, you know, to steal Kyle Shanahan's word to get the job done. But all in all, frustrating season. But still, it's one of those things where it doesn't necessarily change your long-term outlook, given, you know, the fact that Jimmy and so many other guys were hurt and weren't playing.
So let me ask you this then, Joe. With the nature of the team kind of needing closers, obviously I don't know where you're going to go yet with your pick, but you know, we've heard what the Niners might like in terms of Nick Bosa, in terms of Josh Allen, and so how much of an impact, because this team's roster isn't bad enough to be, you know, the second worst team picking number two overall. Like you said, you lose the quarterback, you kind of lose your biggest bite there. So how much does this team change? How desperately does this team need that high impact rusher? Like if you guys add a 12 sack rusher, a 10 sack rusher, how much does that change the complexion of this team in the 2019 season?
Well, I think when you look at it, the 49ers might have already done so, right? When you acquired Dee Ford and signed him to a long-term deal, he had 13 sacks last year. DeForest Buckner had 13 sacks last year. And you know, John Lynch said this is, you know, given the state of things right now, before you look ahead of the draft, he expects the defensive line to be a dominant force. Again, those are his words, and a special group. And so, you know, you look at DeForest Buckner, he had 13 sacks, which is impressive, but his ceiling is still so far away, in my opinion, because he's never gotten the chance to play with an edge rusher of Dee Ford's caliber. And so you look at all the double teams he's having to face, you know, time after time. Even if he gets pressure up the middle, often quarterbacks able to sidestep towards the edge each way because there's not pressure coming from that way as well. And so all of a sudden you're looking at him and Dee Ford, hopefully seeing a lot of one-on-one matchups. Chris Kocurek, the new defensive line coach, is going to use more of that wide nine mentality and just really – no games, no stunts, just get after it. Just pin your ears back and go and beat your man. And if you beat your man one-on-one, good things are going to happen. And so Kyle Shanahan just kind of compared it to, you know, look at what happened with Justin Smith and Alden Smith back in 2012 for the 49ers. I mean, pretty scary things when you have that inside-outside combo. And I think it's way too soon to say that's exactly what DeForest Buckner and Dee Ford are going to be. But just that potential in general should be tantalizing for fans for sure.
I think that aggressive kind of straightforward mentality is like I love it. I love hearing something like that. Maybe it's because
you're hearing the pain of the Tampa Bay fan and Trevor's voice right there.
It's plagued me for so long. Just go after the dude. Joe, any time that a team in the top five already has a quarterback, I think there's always questions of a potential trade back. You know, the 49ers I think can benefit a lot from staying at number two and taking a guy that they believe might even just be the number one overall play in this class since they're not going to take Kyler Murray. But how, I guess, like, what would you say the percentages is, or is it on the table that San Francisco could be a team that would entertain potentially trading back out of this number two spot?
Certainly would trade, you know, would entertain that. I mean, you'd be silly to not pick up the phone, but I think you'd have to be wowed with a trade. And again, to steal Kyle Shanahan's line, he said, we're either going to get a really good player at number two, and if we don't, that's because we got a really good trade at number two.
Yeah.
But I also asked John Lynch, I said, you know, is there a threshold of a player that no matter what the offer is, you wouldn't trade back because he's just that much of a can't-miss guy? And he said, yeah, that's possible, but you know, we haven't gotten there yet. We haven't had our pre-draft meetings and, you know, solidified everyone's grade. And so I'm of the belief it would take one heck of a deal, you know, especially given the 49ers only have six picks, so there is some incentive there to add some draft capital in this draft. But again, being at number two, looking at the talent that's there potentially at that spot, I think they'd have to be completely wowed by a deal. And I don't know if I see that happening unless a team, especially given the way this board is right now in this mock draft, it, you know, is really desperate and worried about getting up for Dwayne Haskins or Drew Locke.
Right. Okay. So you said it. Looking at the talent in this draft, let's take a look at the talent in this draft, Joe Fond. We talked to you at the combine. You were there. Obviously, you've been checking out these players. You brought up the fact that they're in free agency. They bring in Dee Ford, and so the impetus to get that edge maybe isn't as strong there. Top of the class, looking at guys like Bosa, looking at guys like Josh Allen, and even Quinnen Williams, interior defensive linemen. And then obviously, there's guys at other positions. There is a Devin White, a linebacker. There's Greedy Williams at corner. When you look at the top of this class, who do you think is going to interest the Niners the most, and why do you think they're going to be interesting for the team?
Yeah, I think in general, you just look at the defensive linemen. You can never have too many defensive linemen for
starters. Amen.
Two, I just think they're the best players in the draft. I mean, and you look at, you know, you're really only playing two stack linebackers the entire game. But defensive linemen, they're rotating throughout. If you have a good defensive line, those guys are really never playing, hopefully, more than 75% of your snaps, right? I mean, that was a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
DeForest Buckner should never be playing 100% of snaps. And his first couple of years, he was forced to just because of deficiency, you know, along the other personnel at the defensive line spots. And so you can never have too many. You never have too much pass rush, whether it's coming from the outside or an interior guy like Quinnen Williams. And so for me, it's a no-brainer to stay along the defensive line.
Okay, well, that sets us up well, I guess. So obviously we kind of talked about the 49ers as a whole, where they might be looking to improve, how they can make sure they make the most out of their talent. But Joe, you are now on the clock with the number two overall pick. So who will you be picking for the San Francisco 49ers in this guest mock draft?
Yeah, I'm not going to overthink it, and I'm just going to go with Nick Bosa. I think you look at the 49ers really getting a gift that Kyler Murray is going one, and And Ben, you said it perfect. I can't believe we got here, but here we are. And right. Still, to me, it just seems so bizarre that this is actually a thing that's happening, given what happened last year with, you know, trading up to get a quarterback, and then you had a first-year head coach, and then that coach is gone, and you hire a new coach, and now you're getting ready to move on from the quarterback so quickly. But I don't think the 49ers are going to be arguing. That essentially gives them the number one overall pick, given that they aren't in the quarterback market. So they have their pick of the board, and I don't think you have to overthink it. I mean, Nick Bosa is a special kind of edge rusher. Maybe not the physical freak that like a Myles Garrett was, but he's such a technician. I think he really enjoys the art of pass rushing. From everything I hear, this guy's all ball all the time, which is what John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan look for, whether they're doling out free agent dollars or, you know, spending high draft capital. And so I think he's a perfect fit. And you're looking on pass rush downs, with Dee Ford and Nick Bosa coming off the edge. And on the inside, you either have DeForest Buckner and then either Solomon Thomas or Eric Armstead. And that, to me, sounds like an absolute strength and something that should help the entire defense. And so for me, it's pretty simple. You go with Nick Bosa. And that's, you know, Quinnen Williams is a great player. I think the one note on Quinnen Williams, should you take Quinnen Williams, all of a sudden there probably aren't enough snaps to go around between Solomon Thomas and Eric Armstead and Quinnen Williams. So you're looking to have to take someone off the field where – you take Nick Bosa, you can keep everybody out there.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. I was watching when the 49ers beat the Seahawks, like with 3 weeks left to go in the season, I'm like, what are you doing? Guys, I know they're your rivals, but you just lost out on Nick Bosa. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they could have their cake.
And then here we are.
Maybe they can have their cake and eat it too. Joe, thank you so much for joining us, man. Thanks for making the pick. We really appreciate it.
Fellas, thanks so much. I appreciate it. Can't wait till next year.
All right, guys. Yeah, Joe might be a three-time guy next year. We'll probably have to bring him back. All right, Ben.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be a little bit later in the draft for the Niners that year.
Ben, how was it? First show? Thoughts?
Listen, Murray and then Bosa, two best players. I know. Two guys we expect to go top two, so I think we're in order. Jets is interesting. Jets could go 95,000 different ways. I'm excited.
Yep. Tomorrow we get to the Jets pick and going on for the rest of the draft from there. So until then, you guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.